Welcome to ETH, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Here at End Time Headlines, our mission is to inform our listeners of the times and seasons in which we are in. In Luke 21:28, we are told, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads, your redemption is drawing near. And now, founder and pastor of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero.
We're going to give you a prophetic message here today, and it's going to be out of Matthew 13. So if you have your Bible, you can join with me. Again, it's good to see everybody here joining us live via by Facebook. And those that you may be watching this by YouTube, we want to welcome you to the broadcast. And again, if this is your first time, we welcome you. Again, I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder and pastor of End Time Headlines and also Remnant Revival Ministries. But today, this message is more geared around ETH or End Time Headlines. So we want to get right into this thing. Matthew 13, I want to give you a little bit of a backdrop here. Jesus, this is a very familiar passage in which Jesus is speaking in parables, and he gives this parable of the sower and the seed. And he talks about four different types of seed. He talks about the seed that falls to the wayside, the seed that falls to the stony ground, the seed that falls to the thorny ground, and the seed that falls onto good soil. Most of you guys, if you have any kind of a Christian backdrop or you have an idea of the Word of God, you're going to understand and you already know the interpretation of this. I don't want to talk about the practicality of the sower and the seed today, but I want to talk prophetically speaking, okay? So in verse 11, Matthew 13, 11, the Lord says, let's go to verse 10. And the disciples came to him and said, "Why do you keep speaking to us in parables?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but it has not been given to them." Let's read this again. I want to break this down. It has been given to you. Somebody say to me, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Somebody say the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it has not been given. Who's them? Them is those who do not have a relationship with Christ. They've not been born again. They've not been regenerated. They are of the world. It is not for them to know the mysteries. When we talk about the sower and the seed and we talk about these mysteries, it is going to go right over their head. They're not going to understand this. And most likely they'll trample upon these precious pearls in which we are sowing today. And that's what the Word of God talks about. So let me read on. It says in verse 12, "For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and that he who has an abundance, and he will have an abundance." I'm sorry, "but whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away." Now, what does he mean by that? Again, if we go back over to Matthew 13 at the beginning of this, he tells us one of the groups that the seed falls upon is those that fall upon the wayside. This is the seed that goes to the ground and the birds of the air come and they take and they steal the seed. These are the ones in which the Word of God comes into our heart and we do not understand what's being taught. We don't understand what's being preached to us. Therefore, the enemy quickly comes and he snatches away the seed of the Word of God. Okay, so when we use that as the backdrop, when we go over here, it says that whoever has, and that what he means by that is whoever receives the word, whoever comprehends the word, whoever gets an understanding of the word, more shall be given to him. But it says that he who does not have, even what he has, shall be snatched away or taken away. So I hope everybody understands that. Verse 13. "Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they don't see, and hearing, they don't hear, nor do they understand." Okay, and then we skip down in verse 16 of Matthew 13. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. Now listen to this. I don't want to, again, this is the practicality of this. So we're not dealing with the practical of this, but we're dealing with the prophetic of this today. So we want to skip down all the way down to verse 24, Matthew 13, 24. Another parable he put forth to them. Who's them? Us. Okay. Saying, quote, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in the field or in his field. But while men slept, somebody say slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Guys, this is so deep. All right. Now, when you go over to Matthew 13, verse 37, we're going to kind of skip around and go back and forth here. In Matthew 13, 37. In fact, let's go to 36, if you want to be honest here. And then Jesus sent the multitudes away. This is after he gives all these parables about the kingdom of heaven is likened unto this. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto that. And it's like this and it's like that. And he gives all these parables. And then he sends the multitudes away into their house, and his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. So they want to know who the tares are in the parable of the field. So he answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Okay, now this is not, again, we're not talking about the practicality of this, but we're talking about the prophetic of this. Jesus is the one sowing the seed. And look at this in verse 38. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. Somebody say sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. They're sons of the devil. They're sons of the adversary. So does everybody get this? Before we move on, you got to get this. So the Son of Man, or Yeshua, or Jesus, is the sower of the seed. The field represents the world. And the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. And the bad seeds, or the tares, are the sons of the wicked one. Now listen to this, verse 39. The enemy who sowed them. Now, who is them? Them is the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age. We're not there yet, but this is where we're going. And the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered, now who gathers them? The angels of God. The tares are gathered and they're burned in the fire. What does that represent? Now look, to all the people that tell you that hell is allegorical or it's a parable or it's not literal, again, if you stick with scripture, the tares represent the sons of the wicked one. Your Bible says at the end of the age, at the end of the age, when that day comes, the angels of God will gather these individuals. These are people. There's no way of getting around this, guys. They will be gathered according to your Bible, and they will be burned in the fire. The fire represents here hell. It is absolutely a picture of hell. It is literally hell. So will it be, your Bible says in verse 40 of Matthew 13, so shall it be at the end of this age. Verse 41, if you have any doubts about this, for the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom. Somebody say his kingdom. Notice that when he says that, this is what blows a lot of people away. It says his kingdom. Now let's go back. Let's go back to Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who sowed good seed in his field. Somebody say both seeds are in the same field. Oh, you gotta write that down. Both seeds, the seeds of the kingdom of God and the seeds of the kingdom of hell, are in the same field. But watch this. But while men slept, the enemy came and sowed these tares. So when did the seeds of the tares get sown into the field? You got it. When men slept. Okay. So let me go back over here. The Son of Man will send out of his angels out, they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. Now, obviously, that is not going to be those of the seed of the kingdom of heaven. It's going to be those of the seed of the tares, or the seed of Satan, the seed of the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of lawlessness. It says those that offend and those who practice lawlessness shall be gathered by the angels. Now listen to verse 42, Matthew 13, 42. And they shall be cast, and they will cast them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. So listen, this is so good, guys. Don't let some liberal theologian come along and try to convince you that hell is not literal, that there is no weeping and gnashing of teeth, that there is no outer darkness, that there is no worm that never dies, that there is not eternal burning. Because your Bible says right here, but listen to this in verse 43. But then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, let me go back. Guys, that's a powerful revelation, okay? But I want to show you, let me peel another prophetic layer, another deeper layer of this. Let me go back to this. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who sowed good seed in his field, but then while men slept. Now, what is our commission? Your Bible says our commission is to what? Preach the gospel. The gospel of what? The gospel of the kingdom. We are to preach the gospel of the kingdom. We're to heal the sick. We're to cast out devils. We are to raise the dead. We're to go about preaching the goodness of the kingdom of God. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So that is our mandate. That is our commission. But listen, but when the church begins to become slumbered, when it begins to become apathetic, when it becomes lackadaisical, when it begins to compromise, when it becomes lukewarm, it begins to slumber, it begins to sleep, it begins to fold its hands, it begins to lower its standard, it begins to become heavy-eyed, it begins to become worldly, it begins to lose its salt. And the Bible says if your salt, you lose your savor. And you begin to lose your savor, you're good for nothing but to be thrown out and to be trampled under feet by men. You're called to be the light of the world, a city set upon a hill, not to be a light under or lamp to be put under a bushel that men cannot see your light, but we're to let our light so shine among men that they may see our works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. So I want to show you this this other prophetic layer to this, and that's this. We have come to a time, guys, where as the church, we're beginning to lower our standards. We're beginning to change our message. We're beginning to water down the commission. We're watering down the mandate. We're removing elements and principles and core foundational truths from the Almighty Word of God. And listen, How is this happening? How have we come to a time when men no longer preach on the subject of hell? Why do they not preach on the subject of eternal damnation? Why do they not preach on the subject of sin? Why do they not preach on the subject of repentance? Why do they no longer preach on the subject of holiness, righteousness, and sanctification? Why do we not preach anymore on and our, why do we not focus on the message of the cross? And the urgency of returning from our sins and turning to Christ and putting our faith in Christ Jesus. Why have we strayed from these? Why are we now, instead of condemning that which the early church condemned, we are now condoning it, even from behind the pulpit, even as far as putting it behind the pulpit? How have we come to this? I'm going to give you the answer, and it's right here, prophetically speaking, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 25. When men sleep, when good men do nothing, it becomes a tragedy. As we begin to sleep, as we begin to slumber, the book of Proverbs says that's when an armed bandit or a prowler or a thief, that's when he makes his way into the house and he begins to steal things away. He begins to take things in captivity. He begins to take things. Come on, he begins to tie you up and put you in bondage. You want to know why the church is in the mess that it's in? Listen, you can blame politicians, you can blame technology, you can blame everybody else, but at the end of the day, friends, it's when we begin to fall asleep as a whole, when the church begins to fall asleep as a whole, bad things begin to happen. That, my friend, is when the enemy comes in and he begins to sow things into the kingdom. Now, notice this. Where is false prophecy coming from? Where is false doctrine coming from? Where is heretical doctrine coming from? Where is fables coming from? It's not coming from out there. It's coming from within here. It's coming from within the kingdom. It's coming from within the church. Why? Because when the church began to sleep, the adversary began to sow the seed of the false doctrine into the kingdom. He sowed the seed of the heretical doctrine in the kingdom. So the seed has been in the ground for years. This is not something that sprung up over the last 2 years or the last 5 years. It's happened over a space of 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. The seed has been in the ground. While the church has remained sleeping and slumbered, the seed has been put in the ground. But it's now only now over the last 10 to 20 years that we're beginning to see the increase of the seed. The seed is sprouting up. The root system has taken its deep root. It's been deeply rooted. But now the stem is coming up. Now the branches are coming out. And now the fruit is being evident. Now we wonder why we open up our laptop one day, we get on our mobile phone one day, and we begin to see headlines how we have people that are behind the pulpit that are practicing lifestyles that are considered to be an abomination. And in both Old and New Testament was condemned by the early church fathers. But now we have a new generation that's come along and they embrace this. They're more tolerant to sin. And I'm talking about all kinds of things that the early church would have never been a part of. The early apostles condemned, the word of God condemned, but now we've allowed that seed to germinate. We've allowed it to produce a crop, and now we're eating the fruit thereof. We have all kinds of stuff. We've got doctrines of preterism. We've got doctrine of replacement theology. We've got doctrines that come out that we've got fruits that are producing everywhere of doctrines that denies the existence of hell, denies the existence of sin, denies the existence of the need of the cross, and the list goes on and on and on. And I don't have time to sit here and name all these things, but I'm going to tell you, friends, all you've got to have this word in you. If you've got the word in you, you'll recognize the bad fruit. Jesus said one of the first signs of his return is that false prophets would arise, be deceived, and deceive others. many will be deceived and they'll continue to deceive. And he says, you'll know them by their fruit. How do you know the fruit, Brother Ricky? Well, you know the fruit by getting to the root. What is the root? If this is your root, you're going to immediately know what the fruit is. You're going to immediately know that's not in the Word. That's not of God. That's not a characteristic of the Holy Spirit. That's not one of the fruits of the Spirit. That's not one of the gifts of the Spirit. That's not doctrinally sound. That's a false gospel. That's a false doctrine. So my point is, guys, the more and more the church... Now, here's the scary part. Ready? If we are just now in 2019, 18, 17, 16, last 5 years, 10 years, the last decade, if we're just now reaping what has been sown for years prior, what is now being put in the ground? Because I know there's preachers out there that tell you, they want to deny that darkness is upon the land. They want to deny that our moral compass is plummeting. They want to deny that the church is becoming more and more powerless. They want to deny that we're not giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. They want to sweep all that under the rug and tell you that these are the greatest times and that, just ignore all that and just be happy, put on a smile. Friends, that's the problem. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's what we did all the way back over 40 years ago when the whole abortion issue came up. That was the mentality then. Oh, just don't worry about it. We don't need to concern ourselves with that. Just sweep it under the rug. Just put on a smile. Everybody, Jesus loves everybody. Hallelujah. Don't speak that negativity over me, brother. Just no. Let me put my fingers in my ears and close my ears, bury my head in the sand, sweep it under the rug. Just sweep it under the rug. That's what happened years ago. We swept it under the rug. And while we slept, while we ignored it, while we chose not to confront it, guess what? The seeds were sown, and now here we are another generation later. look at the fruit that's being reaped. Look what's being blossomed. Look what's producing. Now I'm going to ask you again. If we're reaping fruits of what was sown 40 years ago, what is being sown in the ground right now? Because as long as the church remains silent, as long as we remain apathetic and we continue to lower the standard and we continue to stray away from this, then friends, all we're doing is sitting like this with our hands folded while we are letting the enemy come in and he's just sowing the seed. So he's putting down some seed over here. He's putting some seed down and on the East Coast. He's putting some seed down on the West Coast. He's putting seed up in the North of the United States. He's putting seed down in the South of the United States. Even in the Bible Belt, he's putting some seed down. Now look, you and I may never see that seed come forth. But you know who will? If the Lord tarries, my kids, your kids, will have to face the consequences of the fruits that they will have to reap in their generation because our generation chose to be silent. We chose to be apathetic. We chose to slumber. We chose not to be the Bereans that we're called to be and say, no, that's not in the Word of God, and confront these things and rise up and be the remnant that God's called us to be. Listen, I've already made up my mind. A long time ago when I first started this thing, I don't care if, and I've already lost friends. I'm talking about close friends who've already bitten of the fruit. They've already partaken of the fruit of compromise, the fruit of let's just be like everybody else. Let's just be relevant. Let's just not offend anybody. Let's make everybody happy. Let's preach a happy gospel. Let's make everybody feel good. Let's never warn anybody. Let's never rebuke anybody. Let's never correct anybody. Let's not offend anyone. We've got to preach a one-sided gospel, not the whole side, because if we get both sides, that other side over there, this side is good, but that side over there, it's going to be offensive. I've already made up my mind. I am not going to succumb to that. If all leave me, then so be it. Because as long as I've got the Word backing me up, I've got the Holy Spirit backing me up, and I've got Jesus and the Father backing me up, then you know what? At the end of the day, I'm going to be okay. Come on, somebody. Is anybody out there with me today that can see what I'm talking about today? That you can see exactly what we're talking about? And you say, you know what? I can see where the enemy has come in and sowed the tares. Now, I want to show you something before I close. I'm going to close this thing almost 30 minutes today, guys. So praise God. I got this almost 30 minutes and we got this knocked out. Listen to this. Let me go over here to Matthew 13. So the servants of the owner, this is 27. The servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" And listen what the Lord says. "An enemy has done this." The servant said to him, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" And he said, "No, lest while you gather up the tares," or in other words, while you're in the process of trying to uproot the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Listen to this in verse 30. "Let both grow together until the harvest. And at that time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first, gather together the tares and bind them in the bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." So again, there's a practical side to this, and I could talk about the practicality of how to deal with tares in the congregation in your church, because every church has got wheats and they got wheat and they got tare, and how we're supposed to do this. But we're not dealing with that today. We're not dealing with the practicality of this on today, but we're dealing with the prophetic side to this today. So here's what I want to show you based upon the Word of God, guys. Listen, false prophets, false apostles, and heretics are going to remain in the kingdom. Somebody say they're going to stay here. They're going to stay in the field. They're going to stay in the kingdom until the end of the harvest. So don't listen, if anything, according to your word, according to this Bible, they're going to wax worse. They're going to grow more intense. See, one thing about a heavy rainfall in the natural, one thing about a heavy rainfall is it will stimulate growth. It will stimulate fruit. It will cause things to green up. It will cause things to grow quicker. But you know what else it does after the rain settles? Yeah, it's a good thing. We should desire the rains of the Holy Spirit. But here's another thing. After the rain comes, you're also going to get weeds that sprout up too. You ever notice that? Come on, all my lawn and gardening people that do your own lawn. Like after a really good rain and the ground's saturated and wet and it's damp and it's moist, you go out there, the sun comes up. Hallelujah. Praise God. You go out there and you're getting ready to mow your yard, and all of a sudden you got all these weeds that was never there before the rain came. So this is what, when we ask for a move of the Holy Spirit in the body, come on, not only will it bring refreshing, not only will it bring encouragement, not only will it bring edification. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Revival will always produce good things, but it will also surface the weeds. It will surface the tares. It will surface the chaff, because they're going to come up with it. Now, many times the Holy Spirit will separate them from your congregation on the practical side of it. But watch this, on a prophetic side to this, according to what Jesus says in Matthew 13, these false prophets, these false apostles, these charlatans, these heretics, these deceivers, they will remain in the kingdom and they will dwell among us. This is why you got to have discernment. You got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. they will remain among us until the end of the harvest. And then God himself will deal with these individuals. Come on, somebody. That's what the Word of God says right there in Matthew 13. So here's what I'm going to pray for us today. I want to pray that the Holy Spirit opens our eyes. Because remember, this parable was to who? Not them, to us. So that we may know the mysteries of his kingdom. So I'm asking that the Holy Spirit, in fact, let's do this right now. I want you to put your hand right here on your chest. And I want you to receive this prayer today. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every individual under the sound of my voice, Lord, that are watching this today by the live Facebook broadcast or by the rebroadcast that's by YouTube. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would open the eyes of our understanding. God, reveal to us the chaff, reveal to us the tares, reveal to those that are among us. Lord, may we get into this word. May we know the word. May we become like Bereans and go home. Begin to seek and search out the scriptures and see that what they're teaching and what they're preaching is found in the Word of God. Lord, I pray that we be not deceived. Lord, you said if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Father, so I pray that, Lord God, that you would keep us, that you would protect us. Lord, that we would not be succumbed to deception. Lord, that we would not entangle our roots with tares. We would not entangle our roots, Lord God, with the chaff. But Lord, we would be coupled together. We would be rooted and grounded together with other wheat. Lord, we would be rooted and grounded in the Word of God, in the Word of truth, that we're not blown by every wind of doctrine. Because your Word says that the Holy Spirit, you said that the wind comes, and when the wind comes, it will blow the chaff away. It will blow the tares away. So Lord, I ask right now that the Holy Ghost would begin to blow through your church, blow through our churches, blow through our assemblies. He would blow through our home groups, our cell groups, our Bible studies, and that the Holy Spirit would begin to remove the chaff, remove the tares from the assemblies and from us. But Lord, even so, we know, God, that the true separation of the wheat from the chaff will not happen until the end of the age, until the harvest of harvest, the final harvest. And Lord, you're preparing our hearts. Lord, may we be ready so that we will not be caught off guard when that day comes and the Lord begins to separate the wheat from the chaff, prophetically speaking. And we thank you, Father, for this prayer. We thank you for this message today. We thank you for the Word of God. And I just ask that it would go into good ground today and produce 30, 60, and 100-fold. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, guys, God bless you today. Again, thank you for jumping on here today for the broadcast. Real quick, we're going to take tomorrow off. We're going to come back on Wednesday. I'm going to do a part two to the prophetic message that we did on Friday, I believe. I think it was on Friday. And we're going to talk about mass deception and how it could be played out through what the world calls aliens. Okay, this is going to be one that you don't want to miss, and it's going to be very controversial. But it needs to be discussed as the body of Christ. We can't ignore these things, because these things are discussed. They're being talked about. They're being blogged about. They're being discussed even among Christians. And there's a lot of people that they don't know how to talk about. They don't know how to discuss this. So we're going to talk about this on Wednesday. And then I think we're just going to do a whole prophetic week. And then on Friday, I want to talk about one of the signs of the coming of the Lord in Matthew 24, is he said there would be pestilences in the last days. We're going to talk about what that means in the Greek. And we're going to talk about some recent headlines and how they're kind of coinciding with that and what that could spell for us if we truly are in the last days. So you don't want to miss. It's going to be an exciting week, guys, all week. So all of my prophetic people, come on. You're going to love this whole week, the next two segments, okay? And then, of course, we're going to be coming on here probably next week, and we'll do some practical messages of edification, encouragement for the body of Christ through Remnant Revival Ministries. Okay. So, also, we, again, we are going to be coming back here to Cordon, Indiana. Here, let me give you the this information real quick, guys. I want to pull this up. So, hold on for a second here, guys. Just bear with me. I don't know why I didn't pull this up earlier, but I want to make sure I give you this information as we can pull this up and give you the right the physical location and whatnot. So just give me just a second and we'll pull this up. But on the 27th of April, we are going to be coming back to Cordon, Indiana at Cornerstone Full Gospel Church in Cordon, Indiana. That's April 27th. That's just a couple weeks away. That's on a Saturday night, 6 p.m. Eastern. That's at 1350 North Old Highway, 135 Cordon, Indiana. If you're anywhere within driving distance, Madison, Cordon, New Albany, Clarksville, Jeffersonville, Kentucky, anywhere, guys, even maybe the outer parts of Ohio, please come. I know we've got a couple people that are traveling. They've already contacted me and said that they're getting some hotels or a hotel and they're going to stay in the area. So we're excited about this. And we're going to be bringing a prophetic message that night too on the 27th of April. So again, we're excited to be with you guys back at Cornerstone. And we're looking forward again to Saturday night, April 27th. And again, that's at 6 p.m. Eastern. So again, God bless you guys. We thank you for coming on to the broadcast today. If you'd like to subscribe to our website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. If you click under follow us under the Facebook Live description, you can click on that and you can follow us there. If you're watching by YouTube, again, the main website is endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, and you can follow us there, subscribe to us. You'll get notifications once a day in your email and your inbox, and you can keep up with all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. If you'd like to support this ministry, if you'd like to partner with this ministry, if this ministry blesses you and encourages you, whether it's the prophetic arm of this ministry through End Time Headlines or through the practical arm of ministry of Remnant Revival, you can sow a seed into this ministry. Again, one tree, two branches, guys. You can do that again on Facebook Live. Just click on that link where it says Support ETH. Just click on that. And you can support this ministry with a gift of any amount or whatever the Lord puts on your heart. Again, our physical mailing address, if you'd like to give by check or money order, is End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, and that's Clarksville, Indiana. And the zip is 47131. So again, as always, guys, we deeply appreciate and greatly appreciate your support, your partnership, for you guys, if this is your home church, we appreciate your tithes and your offerings and supporting us. Again, if it wasn't for you guys doing this, we would not be able to do this full time. Again, your letters, your cards, your emails of support or your letters of support, we get all those. We read those. And they are such a great blessing to us and our family and to our ministry. So, all right, guys. So we're going to check out today. Again, we appreciate you taking the time out today. We will see you guys on Wednesday.